This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go. Tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. I want to reflect on the significance of the events of Easter Sunday by first recalling the events from Good Friday. Remember what had happened on Friday. Jesus had been beaten, mocked, and then crucified on a Roman cross. The women who had followed Jesus faithfully were close at hand, seeing with their own eyes the pain and the agony that he endured. They had seen Jesus breathe his last breath, and it had taken their breath away. They watched his lifeless body be taken down from the cross and laid inside a carved-out garden tomb, and then, as if to add insult to injury, a large stone was rolled in front of the entrance, sealing in the darkness and shutting out the light. That massive stone represented this silent, lifeless witness to the finality of Friday's events. That stone was impenetrable, no one coming in, no one going out. It served as a reminder of death's fierce determination to stamp out life, that colossal rock, an unavoidable symbol to the women and to the world that Jesus, the one in whom they had placed their hope and faith, had died, and they could not get to him. He was gone. And those women had loved Jesus. They had followed Jesus faithfully. They had found in him a reason to believe. He had treated them with dignity, grace, truth, beauty, justice, forgiveness. But now he was gone. Their hope had died, their joy was lost, and that stone, it stood as a cruel reminder of it all. But early on that Sunday morning, the women quietly made their way to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They figured if they could not serve him in life, at least they could care for him in death. And as they walked in the dim light of that early Sunday morning, there was a problem that plagued their minds. They say it out loud. They asked one another, "Who will roll away the stone from the entrance to the tomb?" You know, I think it wasn't just a practical question. It's also a question that really reveals their expectations that morning. They went to the tomb expecting a dead Jesus. But verse 4 says, as they arrived, they looked up. Did you catch that? They looked up, which means before they were looking down. Their eyes were downcast. In their grief and sadness, all they could think about, all they could see was what had been lost. They didn't walk to the tomb that morning, hopeful, with their heads held high. There was no music accompanying them. They weren't expecting anything other than the reality of Friday to hit them again with a fresh wave of grief. You know, I think so many of us this morning resonate with the women's journey to the tomb that morning. We know what it feels like to walk in the dark with our heads down. Many of us walk with broken hearts, broken promises, broken dreams, broken relationships, all in a broken and hurting world. We walk expecting sealed tombs everywhere we go, and we know that we can't move the stone. And so we try to walk forward, unsure if or how we will ever make it through. And that was the women's concern that morning, until they looked up. Verse 4 says, as they arrived, they looked up and saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. What they expected was not what they witnessed. Everything changed when they looked up. I once saw a photo someone had taken of a group of students. This was in Amsterdam, and they were at the State Museum. And they're sitting in front of Rembrandt's masterpiece, The Night Watch. And this is a painting painted in 1642. It's hanging on the wall in front of them. But every single student is sitting there in front of it, looking down at their smartphone. Now, to be fair, like, we don't know what happened before or after that photo was taken. It very well could be that all those students were researching, you know, Googling Rembrandt, and who knows. But the fact remains, at least for that moment, this masterpiece stood there in all its glory, waiting to be discovered, but the students were staring down at their screen, a weak, two-dimensional imitation, as it were, of the real thing. If they would just look up and move closer, they would be amazed at the contours of Rembrandt's canvas. They would be captivated by the beauty and the detail of one of the world's great works of art. I just wanted to yell into that photo, look up! The women, in the midst of their grief, though their hearts were breaking, they walked to the tomb to grieve, but they looked up. And when they did, they saw that the stone had been rolled away. They discovered the surprise that is resurrection. That what they could never do, God had already done. When they entered the tomb, Jesus' body was nowhere to be found. Instead, they saw a young man. He's clothed in a white robe. He's sitting on the right side, the place of honor. It was a messenger, and he had good news. And the message that he gave to those women is the same message that's proclaimed to all of us this morning. Don't be alarmed. Do not be afraid. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. The women went to the tomb that morning expecting to find a Jesus who was dead and gone. They discovered instead that he was alive and gone. The messenger said, go and tell his disciples and Peter that he's going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Did you notice that Peter is singled out there? Why this special message for Peter? Well, of course, he was the leader of the church. But also, in Mark's gospel, the last time we hear about Peter is Mark chapter 14. What had happened at that point? Well, Jesus had been arrested. He had already been beaten and scourged at this point, mocked. And in his fear, we're told that Peter denied even knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And the last line of Mark chapter 14 is really haunting. It says that after Peter denied him the third time, he, quote, broke down and wept. That's Peter. Peter must have been so desperate for good news. So the messenger tells the women, go, tell his disciples, and I love this, make sure that you tell Peter. Don't forget Peter. Let Peter know that his story is not over. His tears will not last forever. Tell Peter there is joy on the other side. I want to invite us this morning to replace Peter's name with our names. Go tell the disciples and you and me. For all of us today, this is the message. Sin and shame and regret do not have the last word. Death and despair do not have the last word. Our sins and our past do not have the last word. That stone standing in the way does not have the last word. Our story is not over. Resurrection has the last word. Hope has the last word. The place where his body lay is empty. He is no longer confined to the tomb. Jesus is alive and he's on the loose. He's already at work ahead of us. He's the God of surprises. He's the God who rolls away stones. He's the one who moved heaven and earth with his love. The one who redeems and restores and renews. The God who turns a cemetery into a celebration. A walk to the grave into a pilgrimage of grace. He's the God of resurrection. You would think the women would run to share the news with the disciples and with Peter, right? That's what they were told to do. But this text tells us in verse 8 something different. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They were speechless. And then get this, the Gospel of Mark just ends right there. Abruptly. Most of our Bibles include verses 9 through 20, but if you look closely, there's a note that says these were a later addition to the Gospel of Mark. Why didn't the women go and tell as they were instructed? That would have made a wonderful conclusion to the Gospel of Mark, right? Scholars have debated this ending of Mark's gospel for centuries. Some say that, you know, Mark did write a conclusion and tied it up beautifully, but that was lost somewhere along the way. Others say that actually Mark, no, he ended it abruptly on purpose, as some ancient authors sometimes did. One compelling interpretation, in my opinion, is that if Mark did end his gospel this way on purpose, if he did, I don't know for sure, but if he did, that he's looking to you and to me as if to say, all right, what will you do with this message? What will we do with the empty tomb? Will we remain in our fear or will we go and tell? Let me ask you this morning, is there anything standing in the way today keeping you from experiencing resurrection, from experiencing life, something that stands between you and hope? What crushing weight is keeping you from the empty tomb? You know, our world is full of loss and fear and regret and shame, but Easter declares that God doesn't dismiss that. Rather, he invites us to bring it all to the tomb and discover the unexpected. There's a power today that is greater than gravity, greater than the weight of any obstacle. St. Paul puts it this way, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither life nor death, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. No matter what grief or regret we carry, no matter how dark it's been, Christ has walked the road of suffering. He has died for us, and he has overcome. Look up. The stone has been rolled away. Christ is alive, and he is out ahead of us at work in the world. And today, you and I, we are invited to receive this surprising, glorious news for ourselves with fresh ears and open hearts, and to follow him in the hope his resurrection promises, and to invite others to experience this life as well. Thanks be to God, he's alive. Alleluia and amen. Amen.